Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm stepping in for Bobby Burton today. My name is Joe Cook, and joining me is Justin Wells. And on today's show, we're about a week into Texas football training camp, and there's already been some small but noticeable shakeups, or I guess big, considering who we're talking about. Big shakeups on the Texas offensive line. Small shape-ups regarding big humans. There we go. In addition to that, Rashawn Johnson made a very interesting list compiled by a very respected college football reporter that was announced on Wednesday. So we'll get into those topics. So Justin, how's it going up in East Texas?
Well, I'll say this much. Yesterday, I was at Longview's practice, and it was the first practice of the fall camp that wasn't 100 degrees. And it was pouring rain, and I absolutely loved it. And so it's not as hot today. We've had rain for the last few days, and so it's kind of cooling things off. And it's much hotter in Austin, and it's much hotter on that practice field. And that depth chart on the offensive line is about as hot as it gets right now.
Yeah, let's go ahead and start there because that's the big news we want to talk about. I think whenever we started viewing things at camp, you and I got to look at the first couple days. We haven't had one since last Thursday. But the what we were able to see was a left to right line of Andre Karich, Hayden Connor, Jake Majors, Junior Anguilau, and Christian Jones. And based off some reports that you and Eric Naline put together on Inside Texas, there's already been some shakeups there on the offensive line, specifically how it pertains to some of the interplay between the guard and center positions. We know Junior Anguilau can be more than just a guard. He can play both guard spots, but it sounds like they're asking him to do a little bit more over these past few days.
You know, the center position has been kind of the most focused in the first 2 weeks. And I think it just goes to show how important that position is on the offensive line and how much priority Kyle Flood and Coach Sark are putting on that spot. If you look back at some of the offensive lines in the last few years at Alabama, our Ian Boyd made a really good point to us earlier about Landon Dickerson being one of the last centers that Flood had at Alabama. And he was 6'6", 330 pounds. I was surprised. And I remember him as that Florida State, the guy that transferred from Florida State. I didn't remember him being that big. But it makes sense because I believe we looked up Junior, and Junior's sitting at about 6'5", 6'6", 320, 330. So it kind of ties in to what they want. This is what Coach Flood wants. He's recruited to his style. He's recruited to Sark's offense to fit, and this is what he wants. And so by getting Junior at center, he gets a lot bigger, a lot stronger, and he also allows – you got a guy in him. You got a couple freshmen in Cole Hudson and Kelvin Banks that are pushing for reps with the first team. They are pushing as much as any of the young freshmen. And you're going to see more and more of those guys, I believe, come to fruition. You're going to see Cam Williams, Devon Campbell, and those guys, Malik Ogbo. But right now, Cole Hudson's running with the ones at right guard. And that's substantial because you had some incumbents. You had a Jake Majors at center, which allowed Anguilau to play at guard. You've got Christian Jones and Karich on the outside at the tackle spots. Hayden Connor, you know, at the left guard. He came back from last year. And so it's a really good sign if you're a Texas fan because you're seeing competition. You're seeing depth. You're seeing you need 10 solid guys you can go into battle with every Saturday. And that's what Flood's trying to find right now. And if that mixture happens to be Junior at center, and you wrote a great story on Junior, I believe it was yesterday or day before, kind of talking about this being his last hurrah, because the NFL, he projects pretty much at center in the NFL. And so I think this is a win-win across the board. And you got to give, you know, you got to give Hudson credit. This is a kid that enrolled early, got in the system early, learned the system early. He has a head up on all these other freshmen offensive linemen, and he may not be as heralded as these others, but man, he's made an impression on this staff, on this team, in this program. And so they're juggling those guys. They're mixing and matching. And this scrimmage on Saturday, Joe, I think is going to really be a tell for the remainder of camp who gets the most reps that last 2 weeks heading into week one.
Yeah, are you surprised that Hudson, I mean, like you and Eric wrote, he was taking reps at first team right guard, and that, you know, put Junior Anguilau at center, and that relegated Jake Majors to the second five, at least for a good amount. Are you surprised that of all seven, that Cole Hudson was the first to, I mean, at least in some parts of practice, crack the starting lineup? Or do you think that, you know, the advantage he had from enrolling early made it make sense that he be one that could start seeing some playing time against some higher rated guys like Neda Umeozulu, Kelvin Banks, or DJ Campbell?
It's a little surprising if you view it from signing day and you see the guys, the names, the star rankings, all that kind of fun stuff. That would be a little surprising to you. But if you followed him in the spring, you saw a trend. You saw how he was moving up the depth chart day after day. And this kid is not only playing right guard, he's also playing center. Like he got snaps with the second team center along with Logan Parr. And so they're cross training this kid. That makes him valuable. That makes him an asset, and that gives him the ability to play a little bit early. So I'm a little surprised because those other guys came in with a lot more hoopla around them. But if you followed it in the spring and you stayed close enough to the program and understood kind of where everybody was with that setting, it's not that surprising. Cole Hudson has made a pretty strong impression, especially on that offensive line and with that offensive group. He is a very smart kid. He comes from a family of professional, you know, his father was a professional athlete. So Cole treats this like a job. He treats it like this is his job. He's going to be the first in every rep. He's going to be the first in every meeting room. That's just how Cole handles it. And so this is a kid that didn't care about star rankings. All he cared about was getting in, learning the system, getting the trust from his teammates, and doing the very best he could. So to say I was surprised around signing day, sure. Surprised to today in mid-August, no.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and that's not to, you know, say anything ill of the job that any of those other guys are doing. I mean, like we mentioned, Kelvin Banks is already working his way up to the second team, right, Pushing Andre Karich. Cam Williams, I saw him take some reps with the second team at right tackle. And, you know, you see the pictures of him, but I think it's seeing him move makes it even more impressive what he's able to do, and kind of speaks a little bit about what Kyle Flood is looking for. I kind of listened to some Kyle Flood audio from that first day of camp thing. And he mentioned, I got the notes right here. One of his things that doesn't just allow freshmen to get on the field early, but allows just, it defines who he picks to be that starting five. He wants them tough. He wants them smart, and he wants them dependable. I think that fits the bill for someone like Junior Onguilau, for sure with the tough part, for sure with the smart part. What about his dependability at center? Because there were some things that, whether it be pass protection and some of the intricate details that went along with that, that even as a fourth-year junior, he struggled with. Do you think he can hold up that dependability at center? Because we know he's pretty dependable with run blocking. He has been ever since he was at Salt Lake City East High School in an option scheme. Do you think he can translate that same dependability to the center position, especially when it comes to some of the weak parts of his game?
That's the biggest question, Joe, because we know Jake Majors has a good portion of that. So for Flood to want to come to move Angle out to that spot, I think speaks to his faith in Junior. And also remember in the spring when Junior started taking snaps at center, the reasoning behind that was, you know, they want to prepare Junior for the NFL to give him some tape so the NFL can view him from that spot, because they felt like center's going to be his spot at the next level. And so I'm not real sure if maybe this was Flood's plan the whole time, you know, just waiting for the right moment and the right guys in the right position and the right recruits to start mixing and matching. But that's exactly what he's doing. You know, Junior's got as much experience as anybody in the offensive line room, top to bottom. And that's valuable at the college level. You know, I was talking to Ian about it the other day, and he's like, Justin, you don't have to have everybody as an NFL offensive lineman to win the Big 12. And he's right. You really don't. If you look at Baylor and Oklahoma State last year, Baylor had a great offensive line. Maybe two of those guys are going to be NFL bound. Oklahoma State, I don't know if they had any that would be NFL bound. Maybe one. And so it was kind of – you kind of had to look at it like, wow, you know, you can win this conference. And like Sark said, they're focused on winning the Big 12. That's where they're at now. They're not in the SEC yet. And so if this was if this conversation was 2 years from now, it would be in a different tone. It'd be a little bit of a different angle. But for them wanting to win now, for them being successful in this conference this season, Junior holding up is going to be the key. And I, you know, like I said, a guy, it's hard. You can't put a price tag on experience. And he's got something to prove. Junior wants to play at the next level. He's got something to prove, not only to the team, but to himself. And I think that's a big motivating factor.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember in the spring, Junior was available to the media, and he wants to, you know, he's keeping his options open as far as when he wants to take his mission, because he is a member of the LDS church. But I think he wants, you know, like you said, he wants to play at the next level. He's got tremendous football, you know, a love of the game and a love of the sport that, you know, you can definitely feel that in just watching him play. But like you said, it's having that reliability, that dependability, like Kyle Flood said, at center, that's a little bit of the thing that he has to prove. We talk about big humans a lot. The smallest human, at least on that first string line that we talked about, that goes Karich, Connor, Ongulau, Hudson, Jones, is Karich. He's someone that I think they may list at, you know, just above 300, but it that's not a weight that he's held easily, if he's holding it at this point at all.
Right.
Kelvin Banks, definitely a larger guy. Do you think we start to see maybe after this scrimmage a little bit more Kelvin Banks, or is this a situation where Karich is able to potentially hold him off and make Banks, you know, maybe have to earn it at another spot?
You know, I think one thing Karich has as an advantage is his relationship with Quinn Ewers. And they've been good friends for a long time. And I know that both of those guys want to be on the field at the same time. So Andre is motivated. And let's not forget, he may be the smallest of that first line O-line group. He's the meanest offensive lineman in the program right now. I mean, the guy is just flat out nasty. And that's what you want. That's that he's gotten by with his size because of that nastiness, because of that aggression. And so, but man, Kelvin Banks, you know, Karich looks like a good college offensive tackle, potentially more down the road. Kelvin Banks looks like a franchise left tackle that you take in the first round 3 years from now. He came in 6'5", 320, bouncing on his feet, ready to go. This was a highly prepared kid. I mean, he took those workouts that Kyle Flood and Torrey Becton sent them last spring. He took those things serious. A lot of these guys came in like that. Cam Williams came in slimmed down from that. Malik Ogbo came in slimmed down. And so Karch is going to have to – that's what you want. You want that competition. You want to have to make that decision. Is it going to be Karch? Is it going to be, you know, or Kelvin Banks at left tackle, and they slide Andre down to right tackle in front of Christian Jones? Like, you want to have those conversations, because that means there's competition. That means you've got depth. And that means you've got something to shoot for. You've got something, a bigger goal. And so it's going to be hard to hold off Kelvin. He just, you know, he's so quiet, Joe. He doesn't say much. He doesn't want attention. But once he straps his helmet on, he's a different guy. And he's just like you said, we saw him that first day. And I've seen Kelvin Banks in person for almost 3 years. That's the biggest I've ever seen him. And so it's going to be a battle. It's going to be hard to see Banks. I don't know if Banks is starting week one. And I think that's somehow some sort of an expectation with some fans. They feel like that he needs to be there to do that. But I don't know if that's the best bet right now. And I trust Kyle Flood in that regard. That if you're a Texas fan, you really do have to trust Flood when it comes to this kind of stuff. You don't want to throw him to Dallas Turner and Will Anderson the second game of his life. It kind of reminded me of Colt McCoy's first year. His second game at Texas was against number one Ohio State. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't completely ugly, but it wasn't pretty. And long term, it didn't affect him. But you can lose guys that way. And so, you know, Banks, he's going to go from Louisiana Monroe defensive ends and edges to Will Anderson and Dallas Turner. You want to make sure he's ready for that, not just physically, but mentally.
For sure. Another thing that popped up on our radar today, Bruce Feldman of The Athletic, probably one of my favorite college football reporters, he posted his annual freaks list. And it used to be a handful of – it was basically what you could consider a here's who to look for on next year's draft board, especially when it comes to combine stuff. Mm-hmm. Of course, most of these guys are good players. Yeah. I can't remember the last time Texas may have had somebody included on that. I know Brecken Hager, I think, was on there in the 2018 season. I think that's right, because, you know, as miscast as he was on the field, Brecken could do a lot in the weight room and was strong. He's just playing a position that he'd be a pretty good jack right now. But that's neither here nor there. Texas had a player included on this list, and it was Roschon Johnson. And Roschon, you know, I think there may have been an idea that maybe Bijan will be the one on that list. No, it was Roschon, and Feldman praised his ability to run the wildcat, to run between the tackles, to do all that. But there was a certain number that he threw out there that I think is really surprising. Maybe not really surprising, but, you know, you may not expect Roschon Johnson to be maybe a 4.5 or 4.4 guy. Who knows if he's that, but a lot of teams are going by top speed these days and how fast you can, once you get going, how fast you can get going. And right. It was 22.6 miles per hour. And that's at his 6'2", you know, 223 pound weight right now. So I think for all the great things we've heard about Roschon Johnson this offseason, from Steve Sarkisian calling him an alpha to every player kind of almost deferring to him, to see that he also has what Paul Wadlington, Scipio Texas, talked about, your best athletes, your best players being your leaders. I think that it's huge for this team. And I think that, you know, his inclusion on Feldman's list also kind of indicates the NFL may be paying attention to him a little bit too, for, you know, being able to play at the next level in some form or fashion.
I'm thrilled that Feldman put him on that list and identified him as that, because I think often with Texas fans and college football fans in general, they view Roschon as the other back with Bijan. They view Roschon as he's the guy that'll do anything you ask. He's the hard worker. He's the leader. They forget he's got NFL talent. Like, he's a legit NFL back. And I don't think we could have said that a couple of years ago. I think he's turned himself into that, Joe. We saw a dual threat quarterback in high school. I mean, I saw him three times his junior and senior year. And you could see those, that running ability, that cutback ability, the instincts to move behind blockers and find lanes. And he's turned himself into a ready-made running back when he came in as a quarterback. And too often people think, man, Roschon, he's just a jack of all trades. He can do the wild horn. He's Bijan's backup. He can catch out of the backfield. No, he's an NFL prospect. And I think you got to give Bruce Feldman credit for putting that out, because if he runs a 4.5, we're talking about a guy that's getting drafted. We're talking about two Texas running backs getting drafted next year, theoretically. And that, to me, I think is probably the most – complimentary you can be about Roschon. Yeah, he's a leader. Yeah, he's gonna be the hard worker. He did that under Brian Faircloth at Port Neches Groves. I remember talking to Coach Faircloth about a couple weeks ago. He's at Sulphur Springs now. He said the same thing. He's like, this is a kid that showed up early every day. Coach Faircloth told Roschon recently, when his daughter turns 21, Roschon is ready, and he is ready for Roschon to marry her. He is ready for him to take her hand and go. So too often, I think we always view Roschon of all the intangibles he brings, and we kind of neglect the actual NFL ability he's got and what he's turned himself into, and give Feldman credit for shining some light on that. And you, of course, you know, seeing that this morning and putting out a post on it, I think that just proves that, yeah, Roschon Johnson's more than just an intangibles guy. This is a guy that could be an every down back, theoretically.
Yeah. I think I'm trying to think of the Big 12 right now, and aside from Texas, the team he's on, and maybe aside from Kansas State, he'd start at every other team. I don't think Tech. I don't think OU. I don't think TCU. I don't think Baylor, especially now that Breece Hall's gone. Iowa State.
He would kill it at Baylor.
In Kansas, West Virginia.
In wide zone.
I think Rashawn Johnson would start at basically – he would start at a majority of Power 5 schools right now. And that's true for a lot of Texas position players despite the results last year. But I think that just speaks to, you know, he's a freak. There's no other way to put it. And Bruce Feldman put it pretty succinctly.
And how many of those kids that have that ability would take the second fiddle? How many of those kids wouldn't just jump in the portal and go? We see it every day, year after year now. Any type of adversity, they're gone. But Rashawn, he invites that kind of stuff. And that's why he's so respected in the locker room. When he talks, people shut up and listen. And I go back to when we talked to him at the Big 12 Media Days and we asked him, you know, what was your inspiration of being this leader to kind of take this foot forward and be more vocal? And he said it was playing behind Sam Ehlinger. He said Sam was a great example about how you should be a leader on and off the field. And he said that was his inspiration and he knew the team needed it. And Rashawn just has it in him. Sark knows when you call a guy an alpha, that's about as complimentary you can get man to man.
Absolutely. So, all right, Justin, you got to run in a second. Anything else or just want to point people to Inside Texas? Still got our 50% off special. You get that off an annual or a monthly subscription. Please subscribe to this channel. Bobby, you'll have some more content in the coming days, especially with some big recruiting decisions up. Anything else to add or we about ready to get out of here?
And I think we've wrapped it up. I'll say this. Come see us at Inside Texas. There's a lot of recruiting going on. Big decision today with Cedric Baxter. Jordan Matthews' decision next week. We have updates on Jalen Hell, Damon Wilson, Jordan Hall. I mean, it's a one-stop shop. Come hang out with us.
It's a lot of stars. All right. Thank you, Justin. Thank you for watching. Bobby Burton will have it next time. And thank you for watching. Watch this on Texas Football.
Let's ride.